Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads, generally for most people, are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Specifically.
Oh my God. Yes. Yes.
I was obsessed with them. Oh my God. Jung
it's
and Niall.
It's on my honorable mentions.
Jung and Niall. Nine.
Hey guys, welcome to Love Cast the Veil podcast. I'm your host Heather, and with us today is all of our other hosts, the whole Love Cast team, Pixie, Kayla, and Alexa. Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
Yay.
So today on the show, we are doing a list episode. We haven't done a list episode in quite a long time, and we thought it was about time to whip out our old favorite list episodes. And today we're actually covering something that I think all of us have experienced more than once in our BL watching career, and that is second couple syndrome. So does anyone want to, for anyone who doesn't actually know what second couple syndrome is, does anyone want to kind of give a really succinct example or like explanation of what second couple syndrome can be and what it can kind of be? Because there's like a very definite like second couple syndrome definition, and then there's like, but I enjoyed the second couple quite a lot type of vibes that we get in BL.
Yeah, so like second couple syndrome, like if you're actually fully in it, is like when you fully prefer the storyline that the second couple is bringing in the drama over the main pairing in the main storyline. And they call it syndrome because often it's something that afflicts people more than once, like Heather mentioned. So like a lot of people will say like second couple syndrome if you're routinely someone who prefers, like tends to prefer the secondary pairing over the main pairing and is more interested in them, more compelled, more drawn to their story than that of the pairing that the show is primarily focused on.
Yeah, an example of someone that is very, very drastically in, like, has this syndrome is if they go to YouTube and just watch the cut from that couple instead of the whole entire series.
I do have an example of like that in my list. I do have an example of one of those in my list. Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I think there's shows where, like, you can like all of the pairings, like, you know, like them equally or just enjoy every pairing involved, but like second couple syndrome is when you very explicitly prefer whatever the second couple has going on over the main couple, and you would much prefer to see them getting the screen time oftentimes over whatever the main pairing might be.
Yeah. Definitely. I can say, like, for me personally, what I like, the moments that I consider having like an obsession with the second couple is usually because, you know, the story of the main couple has sort of like, it's tied up, it's okay, it's over, they're together, and then you have the mystery of the second couple, and that's the thing they end on. So you're kind of sitting at the end of it with more recollection and more feelings toward the second couple than the first, because that story was done for from six episodes ago. Right? So that's usually where I end up. Like, that's why I end up thinking more about the second couple than the first. So it's not as drastic as the syndrome.
Yeah, I think a lot of it has to do with, like, timing, because a lot of the times the second couple does not get as much screen time in the show. So the moments that they do get, like, you're like, oh, they're on, I gotta pay attention. And you just find yourself wanting more. And because you're only getting, like, a certain amount each episode, I feel like it just kind of leads you to keep wanting more and more and more of them because, you know.
Yeah,
they're the second couple and they don't get that much screen time. But funnily enough, like, I was the one who suggested this topic, and I literally could count on one hand the amount of times I've had genuine second couple syndrome. So I was I think my brain just there's something in my brain that's like, okay, this is the main couple. You like them more. Like, you know, don't put yourself through the pain of, like, getting attached to the couple that you're not going to see that often. But I did, like, I do have a couple of pretty significant examples. But
yeah, I genuinely have two that I know that, like, I just, like,
those. Only liked, yeah.
Yeah.
I've got, so of course, I, like, separated mine and classified mine.
Of course.
You know the drill. And my honorable, I've got three honorable mentions and five second couple syndrome-esque. Well, actually, four of them are 100% second couple syndrome. I definitely liked them over the mains. And then one is, like, I really liked them. They're, like, same level as the mains. And I kind of view them as, like, a main, even though they are technically second couple, who then became a main. But yeah, I find that when I was kind of figuring out, like, who I wanted in this list and everything, I realized that, like, kind of like how Pixie was saying that you get attached to the couple who gets, so both Pixie and Alex are actually the couple who gets, like, the least amount of screen time. And there's just something you want to see there. You want to see them get together, and that is, like, the end of the series. They get together at the end of the series.
You don't get more.
Exactly. And so I found that my honorable mentions were, like, two, not technically BLs, but they're what people are considering a BL couple, and then one goes on to literally be a BL couple in a series. And then one is basically a GL couple that everyone was screaming about getting together. But I put them in my honorable mentions because they're not the BL couples, or they're not part of a BL. And then I've set my list. My list of five, which wasn't as hard to put together as I thought. So I'm like, do I have second couple syndrome? I didn't think I was, like, actually legit. I always enjoy the second couple better because I'm a little bit like Alexa, where, like, I'll go into a series going, all right, these are the mains. I know I'm going to be, like, I've got to be invested in the mains. And usually I am, and it's not just, like, because I have to be invested. But it's those little moments, those shows, where that second couple shines, and they shine just that little bit brighter / a lot brighter than the mains. And I'm like, okay, I see a pattern.
Yeah.
See a pattern.
You're like, oh, something is connecting here.
Yeah, I was telling Kayla before you guys joined that, like, I was going through my list on MDL of the shows I watched, and I'm just surprised at how many that can actually go on this second couple syndrome list.
I stopped at five because I was like Pixie. I was starting to go through it and being like, oh, 10's a bit too much. There's a little 10, Harry butt. Yeah.
I was like, do I have five? I have, like, 4.5. Like,
oh, and some I'm of them are, like, reaches. 10 too, honestly.
But I
might have to speed run through some people's lists.
Yeah. But yeah, how many does everyone have? And we'll kind of gauge.
Dude,
if we do this
I have
as
so
round
many.
Robin,
I just have to, like, I'll just.
I have five.
Five. We'll stick to five.
We'll stick to five. And if we have time, we can discuss quickly.
Everything else goes in honorable mentions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have five and, like, one that I would consider probably an honorable mention. Yeah.
Okay. Okay, who wants to start? I'm happy to start. Or Pixie could start.
I can start.
Yes. Pixie start. Okay. All right.
So this one, I think, like, actually, I'm gonna be surprised if not everyone has this on their list, because, dude, my engineer, Ram King. Oh.
Is your I forgot about that.
I totally forgot. When I forgot about Ram King, no one talked.
It's my third. Look at me. I am telling Perth.
This is what I'm saying. I had to look up a list of every single BL because I forget every show ever.
In my head, they were the main couple, so that's why that's I just didn't register.
I genuinely think, like, Ram King had the best storyline, and I think, like, a lot of the other couples were problematic at best and unfinished as well, but Ram King sort of felt like they at least got some sort of closure, and they were also, like, weren't they, like, the last episode was sort of, like, them getting together.
It was very much about, like, their resolution in the last episode.
Yeah.
And then the cliffhanger that was setting up for their second season, which, you know.
It's never coming.
Yeah. It's done. Perth's in Japan now. Like, we missed the window.
Yeah. But, yeah, Ram King was iconic. And I think, like, a lot of people think that. I think a lot of people can agree on this one.
Well, that's why they're my number three, because they basically became the mains for me. Like, they...
100%.
They... Like, when I think of my engineer, I literally think Ram King. I'm so sorry.
I can barely remember any of the other plots or even that, like, the characters. I can barely remember what happened in that show.
Nothing.
Yeah, I just... And I remember, like... Every single week that an episode was released, I was so tuned in, hoping to see more Ram King every single episode. And I just, and so I think that because I had that feeling, that's raised Ram King a little bit higher in my list for me. So I'm very interested, because I know how much you love Ram King as well, Pixie. I'm very interested. Who's higher in your list when we get around?
I can think of some people that at least one. I can think of at least one that's probably
true. I feel like there's gonna be a lot of overlap with me and Pete actually.
Probably.
But yeah. Kayla, what was your number five?
I actually didn't put them in any particular order, so I'll just say one of them. First off though, I have to say that I don't really ever fall for the second couple. Like, I'll appreciate that they're there, but I'm very tuned in to the main couple. And I've noticed that whenever I do get into the secondary couple, it's usually because I'm obsessed with one half of them. So, like, I like one of the characters in the couple. I've noticed putting together this list that that seems to be how it goes for me. But, yeah, that being said, the first secondary couple that I thought of were Sky and Zhao from Secret Crush on You. I loved them so much. I loved them more than any other couple in the show. I love them more than any other characters in the show. For me, and probably only me, they carried the series. I love, like, how simple and sweet their relationship was, and I thought it was a really good contrast to the main couple, who were very horny and unhinged, to put it lightly. I just thought the contrast between them was really good, and I also feel like they were so likable to a lot of people, including me, because the writers didn't, like, try to do the most with them, if that makes sense. Like, they didn't try to complicate their story. They just relied on the simplicity of it. And I think that sometimes with secondary couples, you can just do that. You can just rely on that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
After that. Oh, also, the thing about Sky and Zhao that I really love is I like how like careful and nurturing Sky is with Zhao, and like how he doesn't try to like use logic or problem solving to help him with his issues. He just kind of like stands by him and understands him. And out of like that pairing, Zhao is the one that I was like, he's my favorite character. So I just love their dynamic, and I think it's really sweet, and there isn't much else for me to say about it. I honestly did prefer them over all the other couples. No offense to them. They had their own thing going on, but there was just something about like the, I don't know what the word is, like how genuine the progression of their relationship felt, I guess. Like it just made sense for them to end up together. And I don't think it happened like too quickly or too slowly or anything like that. I just think it was like perfect, and they didn't do too much with them that made it overcomplicated. That's the gist of it.
Yeah, they were definitely a highlight in Secret Crush. I feel for them as much as I feel for the mains, because I loved the unhinged and the sweet, like kind of equally. They were actually technically, if we'd expanded lists, they would have been in there. but only because I was like wanting more of them. They had a lot actually in terms of like, their relationship development within the series as a second couple. They actually had a decent amount within the story, but they didn't have enough. I wanted more, and that's why I'm like, I feel like they kind of fall in second couple syndrome-ish with me, because I just wanted more of their story. Like, if they could get their own little like special episode where it's just them.
Oh. No, exactly. They just need to bring Hang and Surprise back together for a series. Instead, they were really good.
Hang is just third wheeling all the GL ships in.
He's just the villain in every show. Yeah.
Trying to come between every sapphic couple in Idol Factor shows. Always Hang.
Surprise is funny. Like, taken himself to the gym for the past like
year. He's buff now.
And it's like buff. And I'm like, I kind of want to see that dynamic. Like I kind of want to see Surprise as a character that pursues Heng's character. Slash, I had this like to see like Sky and Zhao together again. Like as those characters.
I had this joke that that Surprise needs to get off the basketball court and get in front of the camera.
You're not wrong. Oh.
Send out the search party. But yeah, no, that's a good second couple. I think a lot of people actually, of the people who enjoyed Secret Crush, because it is a, I wouldn't say the niche show, but it's definitely one that you need to love camp to enjoy. I think of the people who enjoyed it, I feel like it's very split, and it's very 50-50 on main and second on who people love, with obviously like Daisy's just a given. But yeah, I think it's like I would say it's a 50-50 split, at least from what I've seen. Yeah, Alexa, do you want to go? We'll go like a circle.
Yeah, sure. So speaking of
a different type of circle,
circle, as opposed to the other type of circle. speaking of niche, this is one that I don't think anyone has on their list, because I don't think anyone else made it through all 17 episodes of this show. But I put Paiyu and Rain from Oh My Sunshine Night.
Okay. Wait, was there 17 episodes of that show?
I watched all of it.
17 episodes of that show, yes.
And I paid to watch it.
Yes.
I did not get through it.
They kept adding episodes in the end. Like, it went from, like, 12 to, like, 15 to 17. And I'm not going to lie, like, Paiyu and Rain's story got a little unhinged for me once Rain got in the helicopter accident. And I was like,
oh my
god. This show was, when you talk about unhinged, this show was unhinged. Like,
it was kind of morbid, honestly.
Yeah, he like got in a helicopter accident and basically like was faking his death. So poor Paiyu was like, it was intense. There was a lot going on there.
Okay.
So it got a little bit like, it fell off a little bit for me like in the last half. The show in general, like, as much as I love Ohm Fluke, I just didn't think their characters had much going on there. And Paiyu and Rain, who of course were played by Pan and No, had this like very like the dynamic of like Paiyu being the servant's butler's son and Rain being like the young master of the house and the will they won't they, and the Paiyu being like, oh, I can't because like our differences, like we're such a different socioeconomic status, like my father works for your family, like I basically owe my life to you guys, like that kind of dynamic and like the yearning that comes with it always gets me. So especially in like the first, I would say like 10-ish episodes like leading up to it, to like when they finally like gave in and they had sex on the beach, there was like the tension that was happening between them and like the build-up to it was just giving so much more than any other pairing in the show. Like, of course, like I remember Ohm and Fluke's characters, but I couldn't tell you any of the other couples that were in that show. Like,
were there other ones?
Yes, apparently. I think so. There was like a third, maybe even a fourth couple in that show. So there was a lot going on, but like their story at this point is the only one I can recall any details from. Like I can't even recall details from Ohm and Fluke's storyline as much as I love them.
I remember like, apples.
Yeah, apples. He passed out and he had to eat apples to like come back because like something in apples like helped his illness that he had. But other than that... Heather's
just
like
being like this sad boy playing in a ice room.
Oh, his plant room. Yeah, he had like a plant room. Listen, Heather, I can see the confusion on your face because you don't know what's going on when I tell you this show was unhinged.
Dude,
and out
the
of
apple
context
thing is
was
like the first 5 minutes of the show.
Out of context, like nothing makes sense, and even within the show a lot of it didn't really make sense.
Didn't make
but
sense.
Paiyu and Rain's storyline and the tension that it's they had it hit. Okay. So I had to put them on there because I was like, they're the only ones that I can remember anything about from the show. And it's our boy Pan, it's our boy No. So like, you know.
Yeah. I tried watching it for them, but for me, like plot has so much to like, it's, I can't watch a show that has a bad plot. Like I just can't. It's torture.
I can do it for my faves. And this is an instance where where I did in fact do it for my faves.
I tried, okay.
Put in a valiant effort.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that was my number five. Talk about niche. If anyone else watched that show, sound off in the comments. Maybe one other person that finished it in its entirety.
Oh god, that's funny. Okay. So I realized looking at my list now, before I said that there were like, there was one, the way that I ranked it, there was one couple that was like on the same level as my love for their mains. Technically there's two, because I kind of realized that, so my fifth couple is Wind Team, specifically from Until We Meet Again. And I realized that I actually liked them and Mains, Dean Palm, the same, but I didn't get enough of Wind Team during Until We Meet Again. And so in terms of like my rankings, I forgot about them in terms of how much like my love of the couples, but whatever. I put Wind Team at this position because they ended up getting like their own full-on series. So I was like, okay, I got some of my love back, their mains in their own series. That's okay. Like that's scratched that itch that I needed scratched type of thing. But when I think back to Until We Meet Again, I was so obsessed with them as a couple. And I think it was mainly because we didn't get enough of them. So much of their story in Until We Meet Again actually happened off screen. And I was like, just turn the camera around. Just give us that, like, romance off screen, on screen. Like, just give us Beats. Something. A little bit more. Sorry.
No.
Give us feet.
Oh.
Seen our reaction to the episode.
I thought you said beats. As in, like, feet.
I heard Pete. Broccoli. I heard Pete. I was like, dude. Who the fuck is Pete?
I was like, dude. The beats, broccoli.
Remember when we were watching the Between Us episodes in the hotel room? The feet
were triggering. Yes.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so yeah, Win Team were my number five. Also because apparently, again, going back to the fact that I seem to have second couple syndrome, there were like four couples that were so like strongly above them that I was surprised at myself. Like, I was so surprised that Win Team didn't go higher. But yeah,
they're my number five. I don't have anything
else to say. Pardon?
I have words about Win Team, but later.
Yeah, I was like, I know that was when I was like, I know at least one that's going to be on Pixie's list. I know that it's going
to
be them.
It's too early to start talking.
Okay, fair enough, fair enough. But yeah, Win Team's my number five.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, valid point.
So my number four is Kiseki Dare to Me. Because, God, I can't even remember their names, but that's beyond
Chen
the point.
Chen Yi and A.D.? Yes? A.D.? Yes. A.D.? Yes.
Yeah, A.D. Yeah. No, they're just the plot of their whole story speaks to me. Like, I love that kind of trope. And while there were, like, some annoying parts where they were, like, going back and forth and, I just, there was something that really spoke to me. And it was what was making me watch the show. Because the main couple to me, I had some issues with. While they were kind of cute at times, it's cute isn't me. So they were the whole reason I was watching. So, yeah.
Yeah, I totally get that. I enjoyed them on the same level as the mains, but they did definitely have a little bit more of an interesting dynamic because of the fact that they had grown up together, they knew each other, and there was like the secret crush element, and like, I'm down bad for a secret crush. Like, that is my top trait. Trope. and so I totally get like, I totally get kind of like the vibe of them being your faves. And they were also apparently, from what I saw of people watching Kiseki, they were like a fan fave.
They were
like
pretty
people,
solid.
I can imagine like them.
Favorite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people absolutely loved them, and they were very interesting characters.
Yeah,
they were very.
I just
characters.
Love like you have this one like really spicy character and then really cold character. They're so opposites, but they work so well together.
The small one who's always ready to throw hands, and then the tall, quiet, kind of stoic one.
Strong. He like reins them in sometimes and like puts out the fires that the spicy. Yeah. Little
but
one
they kind of
set.
They fulfill each other. Like they are missing. Whatever the other person has. So together they're like perfect.
Yeah, that was one that I kind of had as an honorable mention because it was very timely since we had just recently done our review about it. But yeah, I really like the secret crush element, the kind of in a way, like I would say it falls kind of into the friends to lovers, but it's like a different level of just like friend. Just like, you know, your basic level of friends, there's a lot more going on there, but that kind of relationship navigation always really speaks to me.
Okay, again, no particular order, but, and I have to look at my notes for this one so I don't get the names mixed up, but I put Tudor and Yim as a whole.
Mm.
Because they're in multiple shows as the side couple.
Secondary pairing. Yeah.
Yeah. So I have, this is them as Sin and Noir and Cutie Pie and Naughty Babe, but also them as Mai and Jade and Bedfriend. And then, of course, they had their own show, Middleman's Love.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And yeah, I know Middleman's Love is their own series, but I feel like it's another one of those examples like Win Team and Between Us where the second couple actually gets their own show, and maybe the show isn't as good as I hoped it would be, but I still like it because it's them.
Yeah.
But yeah. And honestly, I feel like their characters in both of those universes are very similar. Like Noir and Mai are both like the silent supportive types, and then Sin and Jade are kind of like, they're very anxious, they're always worrying themselves to death about something, they're a little unhinged, and that's just like one of my favorite relationship dynamics, I think, is one when one of them is like the golden retriever boyfriend, and then I don't know what you would consider Win's character, not when Yim's character is an archetype of, in contrast to that, but Tudor is definitely the golden retriever type boyfriend in like every show that he's in. Oh, I don't want to read that part because it gives away another one of the ones I put on my list. What else do I have to say about them? Yeah, this is one of the ones where, unlike Secret Crush on You, it wasn't that I liked them more than the main couple. Like, I don't think that would be possible for me. but it's one where I don't think the stories would have been the same without them. And I feel like their characters and their relationship, even though they didn't have as much screen time, really contributed to, like, the overall vibe of the story, especially in Bedfriend. Like, I just can't imagine that show without like them as well. It's mostly just Jade because Mai comes in at the very end, but I just can't imagine them like not being there as the kind of like supportive to the main couple, secondary couple. And yeah, I don't know what else to say about that. I just like Tudor and Yim as the second couple and everything they've done, and then even in Middleman's Love, even in Middleman's Love.
Yeah, I forgot about Sin and Noir, but I love them so much in Cutie Pie. Like, they were like a low-key fave of mine in Cutie Pie. Yeah,
they're so good.
Same. I don't have anything to add.
Nothing like, to add. No notes.
No notes.
No notes. 10-10. That's it.
Yep.
10-10.
Yeah, I feel like my next one I have is kind of similar to what Kayla and also Heather, you said this before. I don't like them more than the main pairing, but I put them on the list because I felt like their story was not really done justice, and that made me want more for them. And that was Jab and Jane from Step by Step, because the talking, like, looking at my list made me realize that I, for some reason, in my second pairings, I really go for the like forbidden element, will they won't they kind of thing going on, which may be a little kind of spoilery to some of the other stuff I have on my list. But yeah, so they did very much have that element because Jane was in a relationship and there was some relationship infidelity that did in fact happen because of Jab. But I just, it's like so like, I don't know, I don't know what word I'm looking for at all. I guess like the forbiddenness of it all like really drew me into their story, and I found myself like really, despite knowing that, like, oh, they shouldn't be, like, leaning into each other like this when they are. And even Jab was aware of that. And that, like, that was part of his character storyline, was, like, trying not to give in to the feelings he was having for someone who was actively in a relationship. But, like, when they did kiss, I was like, oh, God, I'm enjoying this and I shouldn't be, because, like, if you know. But I put them on here because, like, we kind of talked about this when Kayla and I talked about Step by Step in our top BLs last year. Like, their storyline became non-existent after Jang and Pat got together, like, for the final three episodes. Like, there was so much going on with Jang and Pat that, like, Jab and Jane got no resolution at all. Like, you know, after they had their kiss and kind of face the consequences of that, Jab made the decision to, like, step away because he was not happy with the decision that he made. And then, like, after that, it kind of was, like, nothing, you know? Like, so I don't know how it would have been resolved, but I put them on there because, like, they didn't get any real resolution, not even, like, an open one or what you consider, like, a sad one. Like, they just kind of disappeared. And, like, that was, like, one of my quips that I had with Step by Step, despite being one of the people who are ride or die for it, was that they did Job and Jane dirty at the end of the story. So I put them on
there. It was very jarring to not, like, have some kind of ending for them. I remember being really annoyed.
I mean, I felt like, go ahead, Heather.
I was just gonna say, it was I wouldn't even consider it a resolution. Like, their story just there
was
stopped.
It was just stopped. Ended. Yeah, it just stopped. It just disappeared.
And like, that it didn't, there was no satisfactory ending. There was nothing. Even the little, they gave us, like, what, a little thing, a little, someone went overseas, like, to study or something. I can't remember. So, like, they gave us that and that was it. And it was like, oh, when I come back, maybe we can pick this up and explore what happened. Like, but that wasn't, it didn't feel like an extension of their story. It didn't feel satisfactory. Jointed. It literally just felt, oh, shit, we've got to put something at the end of this because people are going to be mad that we haven't developed this any further. Like, we've just kind of given up on their story. They were really interesting. And now we're just like, nah, too hard.
I don't get why.
Chuck this on. And I'm just like,
I feel like they put a lot into them, like, in the first half to, like, three quarters of the story. So, like, that's why it felt so jarring that they just kind of, like, stopped it. Just then, like you said, like, kind of just threw in a little tidbit at the end.
They
and I think
might
it was
have
just
gotten, like, backlash if we didn't catch on our end.
Yeah, I don't know if that, I never saw anything about them making, like, any, I mean, those episodes were so long. I'm like, what could you guys have edited out? Like, but I genuinely think that it was just, like, once Jang and Pat got together, the writing and production team was like, okay, this is a story now. And that didn't happen until episode 9-10 that Jang and Pat really, like, took off. And then, like, after that, it was when Jab and Jane disappeared. So I think it was just, they could not, I don't know, they couldn't balance the writing after that.
Because it felt like they were using their story to keep us, I guess,
engaged
before Jang and Pat definitely got together. So then when they did get together, they were like, nah, we don't need them anymore.
Now people
and
have
just kinda,
what
like,
they
threw
want.
Them to the side.
Yeah.
And that's so disappointing.
Justice for Job and Jane, honestly. I would love to see them work together again, Saint and Vin, which I don't know what Just Up projects have they have coming up, but we need something. We need something.
They're a fun pairing. I like them. Okay. I'm throwing it right back for my fourth. Not like how you guys are thinking.
Throw it back. Throw it back, Heather.
I didn't realize how that would come across. Not the time or place or the fact that I could do that. but this is a throwback. Quite a while ago, so when I first watched this series, I was obsessed. Like, so obsessed with this couple. That I ended up, like, I probably would have, I don't know, if I could have gotten to Thailand, I would have been a fan site. Like, I was so obsessed with this couple that I just consumed everything of theirs. I was always, like, watching every episode to Yeah, so I was like every single week that like the episode would air, I was just watching for them. I liked all the other couples, but I was watching for them. And that's Minkit from Two Moons 2 specifically.
Oh my god, yes. Yeah, yes. I was obsessed with them. Oh my god, June and
it's
Nine.
It's my honorable mention.
June and Nine.
I was such a J9 stanny.
Oh my god, same. And like, I still love Nine to this day, and I love June as well. But like, Nine was it for me, and like, I followed him through his
idol era.
China, and like I followed him through all of like everything, and like when they were a boy band, like the two, like the whatever they were called, I can't remember what they were called, but like I was kind of following for that, even though like that was not the first one. But like I was obsessed with Minkit, and I loved Jung and Nine as people, as actors, as BL pairing. I loved them, but I loved Minkit and the grumpy older guy, and the like kind of like a puppy-ish younger guy trying to get with, like, pursuing he's Sunshine him. He's the grumpy, but like it's not Sunshine Protector, it's like fuck off, leave me alone. But you're actually kind of sweet and you're kind of cute, but leave me alone. And this like cute little puppy guy that's following this one, being like, it's like Puppy and Cat, like Black Cat and Puppy, like that's kind of the vibe it was. And like I was so obsessed with them, obsessed with them. Oh my god,
you just that, opened like the gate in my memory for like I had like so many photos of June and Nine saved on my phone at one point. Oh my god.
No, their characters were very well written, and they fit perfectly to it. I remember I was obsessed too. I have it on the list on below five.
No, they're like solid four for me, because I just remember that era of my life, and I was, and because this was also before I was like really involved in a BL fandom, BL community. So I was on my own little island, Australia, the little continent, little island, like suffering and enjoying myself by myself. Like I was like, it was like both suffering and enjoyment at the same time, because I was so obsessed with them. Holy crap. And I couldn't scream about it to anyone. Or I didn't even scream about it online. I was just like,
in your head.
In my head, in my feeling.
In your brain.
Oh my god. But like I just remember how strongly I felt about them.
Wow.
And I still to this day, like if I watch Two Moons 2, like if I do a rewatch, I am literally watching for them.
God. Yeah. I remember I watched the scene of like their first kiss, like when they like so many times. I made gifts of that on Tumblr, like that. Oh my god.
Oh my gosh. I was gonna say, when I in recent years cleared out everything on my Tumblr, there was so much Minkit. There was so much. Oh, that's crazy. That really just unlocked a whole memory, a whole period of my
core
life.
Memory.
Wow.
That's a good one.
So for my third, I actually have History 3 Trapped. I don't know what it is. I don't know why. I love those two characters. And I, well, maybe we know why. Like, I have like a trend on this list.
It's like they're a little bit similar to your fourth.
But it's higher on the list because Trap was iconic. And it's like with Trap, I like the main couple too. That's not it. Like, but there is something about the sassiness of Jack that just, and the naivety of Xiao?
Is that how you say it?
How's it spelled?
Z-H-A-O.
Zhao.
Zhao.
Zhao. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like the naivety and just like everything. I was so obsessed watching that. Like I remember the first time, like I was watching through every scene they were together in and they were like chipping at each other. I would like, when the scene was over, I would just like rewind and watch it one more time. We've all been there.
Yeah,
no, it's one of those couples and characters that really give me like a lot of inspiration to write myself. The dynamic of everything, it's just like it gives me ideas to what I want to like get on paper myself. So
yeah,
I feel like that's another one where it was pretty evenly split between main and second, but a lot of people, like, the second couple, I would say, had a slight edge over being the fan favorite, maybe.
Yeah.
But it was, like, a pretty even. Like, I know a lot of people who also like the main couple just as the main couple. I think this is a show where people really just enjoyed both of them. But I remember...
So well balanced.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a good one.
Mm. I didn't mean to cut you off, Alexa. Sorry.
I was just going to say, I remember seeing so many people loved Jack and Zhao when it was airing.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with a semi-similar theme, because ever since we watched this show collectively, I have not been able to stop thinking about them. And it's Tantai and T from Laws of Attraction.
Yeah.
I have physically have not been able to stop thinking about them. It's another one of those things where I wish we got more of them.
Mm-hmm.
I really, really wish that we got more of them. But I feel like it goes without saying. I mean, like, it's the bodyguard trope. Mm-hmm. And it's, like, characters who are severely traumatized.
Mm.
So, like, my two favorite things. While Heather dies.
I'm so sorry. I just breathed weirdly and then my throat decided that it was okay. Not going to let me have to do that. I'm just going to quickly grab a drink.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
A lot of struggling today.
Sorry.
It's always a struggle when you record, honestly.
Oh,
Anyway, Tantai and T. I mean, we talked so much, I feel, about them when we did our review, which everyone should go and watch, our mm-hmm. Laws of Attraction review. Mm-hmm. But I just want to reiterate that, yes, it'll be...
Do a little card.
That's all. I never understand the mirrored thing.
Yeah.
But they kind of give me, like, they're a little Bonnie and Clyde coded. Mm. Except they're not, like, bad people, although you could argue that, like, that archetype isn't bad. But anyway, I feel like it's just, like, they were given no choice but to live this life that they're in and temporarily be on the run. Like, that aspect of it, to me, just kind of gives Bonnie and Clyde. And I like that. The, like, we're in this together, us against the world type mm-hmm. thing. I yeah. really, really vibe with that. And it's, like, the desperation and the violence that they face, especially Tantai. It's, I feel like, a good, for lack of a better word, a good contrast to all of those, like, happy little moments that they have whenever they're away together. And I'm just literally obsessed with them. Yeah. It sucks because there's really, like, no content about them coming out anymore. But I love them and I wish they had more screen time and I would love some kind of special episode. But no, they just have to live on in my memory. And I did the same thing as Pixie, where I would watch their scenes and then rewind. Watch it again because there just wasn't enough. But yeah, I really like them. And of course, bodyguard, always bodyguard trope.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really good one. Oh my god, yeah, I definitely, we talked about it in the review how much I love them and their story. Just like, you tried to fight it for so long because, like, you didn't know if they were good people, but then, like, mm-hmm. the traumatic backstory came to light and you're like, oh god, I need, like, to protect both of them so badly. That was a good one.
I love it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. My next one also kind of falls into the forbidden nature, will they, won't they. I have Dome and V from You're My Sky. Which, if you don't remember, I guess in this show they were basically the fourth pairing, but it was the runners, and the one was basically his sister's boyfriend, and they yes. were training together, and in that some feelings developed that they mm-hmm. You know, eventually enacted on. But yeah, I don't know what it is about that, like, forbidden, like, someone already has a significant other that they should not be, like, I guess that speaks to me in second couples. But yeah, like, they just had so much tension. There's this one scene in episode 4 that I have replayed. I just posted about it on Twitter recently, where they're, like, sitting on a bench together and, like, they keep, like, picking their hands up and putting them back down, and each time their hands get a little bit closer until their pinkies, and then, like, eventually their hands kind of overlap. And it's just like, this is very early in the show, but, like, this, like, very, like, tension filled small moment of them, like, acknowledging that they're both feeling whatever is going on for each other. And they did try and fight it for most of the show, and they had a pretty, like, open ending at the end, I would say. Mm-hmm. You know, but god, they were just, like, I was obsessed with them, and, like, the way there were, I just keep coming back to the word tension, but their scenes just had so yeah. much buildup in them. Like, every time they were on screen together, like, it was electric. And Chris mm-hmm. and Porsche, I believe that those are the two. Yep. Chris and Porsche. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We're just so good as, like, both of them, like, just stepping into those roles completely. And we kind of talked about that a little bit in our interview with them, Throwback Thursday, mm-hmm. about, like, playing this kind of, like, another card in the corner. but, like, playing this kind of, like, forbidden romance and, like, how you get into that. And, like, they did such a good job. And, like, I just, like, Troy on our server, if you're in our server, is always the person who's advocating justice for Dome V, because like, we, once again, we're coming back to, they deserved a special episode or a spinoff or something. Yes. And I am firmly in that boat. I love them so much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had completely forgotten about them, but now that you say it, I remember when watching the series, like how much their story drew me in and how hard I was rooting for them to have a happy mm-hmm. ending. Mm-hmm. Like, even though I couldn't see how they could have a happy ending in the time frame of that series.
Mm-hmm. It was very much like, it was not right person, wrong time.
Yes, that's
bad
it.
Decision.
Right person, wrong like, time. And the angst and the yearning, struggle, angst from that. Mm-hmm. Oh, that hit me right here. And yeah. Like, I love that.
Yeah, the angst got angsty. Like, and the girlfriend / sister being played by Apple, I was like, Queen, you don't deserve this, but I'm rooting for them nonetheless. Apple, come to me. Like, come on, girl. Like, we can, and they can have each other.
I'll make
but
you
like,
happy. Let the boys make themselves happy. I'll make
you don't
happy.
Need them.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, there's just like so much that comes in, like, a third person being involved in the relationship, period. But like, when that person is someone's sibling, like, it just like the angst level and like the forbiddenness of it just goes up like 100%. So yeah,
definitely. I've already done my third because my third was Ram King, so I can either throw in my honorable mentions now or we can just keep going with our circle.
Whatever you want to do.
Whatever you
want to throw.
Okay,
keep going.
Okay, so my second one, this might come as a surprise, because I'll explain. So I've put Oxygen as my number two. Callum,
the bunny boyfriend.
Yeah, you know why? Because I loved these two. Like, I was...
Me too. I liked them.
They were in my heart. And the people who made this just ripped my heart out. Like, they just stabbed me. Like, they like, genuinely stabbed me by doing that end and never coming out with a second season, like, Nitrogen.
It's very much the Ram King treatment. Like, the second season was announced and then just...
At least with Ram King, we had some sort of like thing going at the end there. But with these two, there's literally nothing. They deserve better. They deserve so much better. I am traumatized.
Traumatized by Oxygen. I'm traumatized by it, but for different reasons.
Well, Oxygen traumatized me in many other ways too. Let's be fair.
But they gave us that banger of an OST.
Oh my god. Yes.
Yes. SuperNut gave us that. Not true. Them. Not them.
Credit SuperNut.
No, so that's like, just because of that. That they didn't continue it and they teased it, and it's just because of that, it's the second one.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. That unlocked another memory for me. That's so funny. My next one is super random too, and like probably unexpected, but I had Tucson and Poor from My School President.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
And like, I know that, I believe they only alluded to them being together in My School President, and then it wasn't until Our Sky 2 where it was confirmed and they had a lot more scenes together. But honestly, dare I say, perfect couple? Like, this, I think this has to, well, I'll get into that. I think that this one for me is influenced a lot by the fact that I love Mark and Ford and them as an acting pair, and I want to see more of them as an acting pair, and I think it's a crime. Mm-hmm. I think it's a crime that there's not more of them right now. Maybe soon, because then we have part two.
Yeah. GMMTV part two is coming up.
Showcase. Mm-hmm. Mm, I'm rooting for Mark and Ford, I think.
Mark could be paired with like five different people at that showcase. He probably will be paired with five different people.
He needs to be booked and busy as like a lead, at least multiple leads.
Oh like, my gosh.
That boy
imagine.
Is so talented.
They can be the leads in their own show. Yes. I think I'm also, this is one of those instances where I just think they look good together aesthetically. Mm. Like it's kind of a shallow thing. That's how I felt about Ohm and Fluke. Is that I'm just like, oh, they look good together. And I think both of them are really talented, but I kind of gravitated towards them more as a second couple, even though they weren't really, and it wasn't outright stated. I don't know if I liked them more, but at least in Our Sky 2, I did.
Mm, yeah.
And that's definitely because we got to see more of them, even though they were like switched as each other in Our Sky 2, we still like saw that, oh, they were actually together this whole time secretly. Mm-hmm. And I don't know, I like the like secret romance type thing that they have going on. That's another trope that I like.
Yeah.
And I just think they're cute, and they really just like emulated those high school romance vibes in the same way that Gemini and Forth did.
Mm-hmm.
And it's another one of those things where I don't think the show would have been the same without them as characters and without them like interacting in the way that they did. So I know it's super random, but and kind of like my own nepotism, but I did really like Tucson and Poor for My School President.
Yeah, that was one. I can't remember like if My School President finished filming before the show was airing, if they were still filming while the show was airing, but I feel like at least like with Our Sky 2 giving us the like 100% confirmation that came solely because of the fan feedback of Tucson and
100%.
Poor. Like Mark and Ford popped off as a pairing during like people were so into them and the potential of Tucson and Poor, and I feel like if it had not been for the fan reaction, I don't know if like GMMTV or the production Kayla specifically in charge.
You guys owe it to me.
Like, I don't know if they would have, like, even gone full out on them even in Our Sky 2. But, yeah, they were really, really good. They were definitely a fan favorite, I would say. I feel like...
Oh, and what I was going to say earlier is that I kind of feel like... oh, my gosh, where did I have that? I kind of feel like Tucson and Poor are, like, the teenage versions of Mai and Jade. Like they have like they have a very similar vibe, but like the teenage version. I don't know if that makes sense, but that's what I was gonna say earlier, but I didn't give anything away.
Yeah, I can see that. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, I was gonna say, like, I was thinking of My School President and I thought of Sound and Win. Kitty in the background
resting on the box.
So cute.
Sorry, I just saw that. I want to cry. It's so cute. Sorry.
Love when kitties are cute.
Anyway, like when the cats rest their heads on stuff, it makes my heart melt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Soft soul.
Sorry, guys.
Yeah. No, you're okay. We can always break for kitties. But yeah, I was thinking, like, when I was thinking of my list and I was looking at My School President, like, I only thought of Sound and Win, and, like, I was very, like, neutral on Sound and Win and My School President. Like, you know, I very much prefer Tin and Gun, but then you said Tucson and Poor, and I was like, yeah, like, if they would have been, like, the full secondary couple in My School President, like, that would have been amazing. But they did have some good tidbits in the Our Sky, too, so.
Yeah.
My number two also kind of comes from nepotism, just because I really like the actors a lot. And this is also my instance that I mentioned earlier where I eventually was only going through to watch their cuts from scenes from the show on YouTube. Jang and Polk from Hidden Agenda, only because it was all in Boom. Like, that's the only reason.
That's
like,
so on brand for you.
Yeah, I'm very much like, I've been in my All in Boom era, but especially now that We Are is airing, like, it's up tenfold. But, like, in that show specifically, first of all, they had, like, the established couple dynamic. And I do really enjoy when we get to see established couples in BL, because that's not often something we get to see. Because, like, most of the time, BL is about the pairing getting together. So, like, when we get, like, the second couple dynamic or a dynamic where there is an established couple, I always really enjoy seeing them navigate that. And, yeah, like, I vaguely remember the like general storyline of Hidden Agenda, but like I would say after like episode 6 I stopped watching the show as a whole and just started like scrubbing through for their scenes on YouTube. I'm so sorry, Jung and Dunk, like you guys are lovely, but after a certain point I just like I didn't have the time to like watch the full episodes, and I wasn't invested enough in the main couple to like sit there and watch the full 50 minutes. Yeah. So yeah. I was scrubbing through for their scenes, and I just like, yeah, it's fully mainly because I just really enjoy All and Boom, and I really enjoy watching anything where we get to see them as an established pairing, and they had a little bit more screen time in this than they did in Vice Versa in their other projects. So yeah, that's all. I just love them. All and Boom, world domination. That's my agenda. That's my agenda right now.
Crossed part 2, GMTV. Give us a lead.
I need it. I will fund it. I don't know how, but I will fund it. But yeah, that's all.
Okay. So my second couple, is a couple that I didn't love more than the leads. Like, they were the equal footing, equal love type of thing. But they became, like, basically made the show as two leads for me, opposed to a lead and a second couple. Like, they were just so integral to the series and had me in as much of a chokehold as the main couple. And that's, all right, that's Sunbo Zhang and Luzi Gang from Make Our Days Count. I've definitely butchered their names, but Sunbo and Luzi or Zigang.
Mm-hmm.
So that was the shop owner. I can't remember exactly. It was like frozen yogurt or something.
Oh, yeah.
And then the friend of the kid, like the high school. They weren't
the
kids,
student.
They were high schoolers. The students. But he was 18.
Yeah. And I agree.
The guy was a lot older, but he was 18. Anyway. And I really loved their dynamic. I loved the fact that Sunbo chased him, and that he was like, no, like you haven't had enough life experience yet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you need to experience life before you pursue a relationship with me. I'm an old man. He was like in his 30s. He's not old, but like, he's definitely older than 18.
Yeah.
I'm an old man. Like, I've experienced life. I've had relationships. You haven't. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm battered. I'm not worthy of love. Like, you need to go and enjoy your life and figure your stuff out. And somebody's like, I am a fully grown human being. I know what I want, and I mm-hmm. want you. And I was like, oh, like that just got me. And then like their progression of their relationship and the fact that he helped Zhigang connect back with his family, because his family had kicked him out when he was mm-hmm. When he was with this other person, and that relationship didn't end up working, but he lost his family because of it, and mm-hmm. they weren't able to reconnect, and Sunbo helped him reconnect with his family, and that was more important to him, was to actually help him connect with his family and support him and help him see his self-worth and that he is worthy of love. And they just had me as obsessed as I was with the mains. Like, I mm-hmm. also just fucking love that series. I'm also very glad that they didn't get like a tragic ending, because they very well could have in this bloody show. They're just magic. Like, that whole series, both couples are magic, but they were just, I don't know, there was just something mm-hmm. about them, even though that was a massive age gap.
Mm-hmm.
I well, I shouldn't say even though I have clearly shown that I do enjoy an age gap at times. Yep. Same. As long as people are of age is when I really enjoy it. Like, well, 100%. Yep. Anyway.
Yeah. And on. I think there needs to be like a sort of accountability to like there need, it needs to be addressed that they're of different ages. Yeah.
Yeah. And that, that did happen in this, and like, there was a very much a, they had a will they won't they, even though Sumbo was pursuing real bloody hard, they still had a bit of a will they won't they. They had the angst, they had the resolution, they were very, very spicy. That was fun. Like, it was, yeah.
Yeah.
It was
a whole thing. That bathroom scene is like the most erotic thing
goes
ever.
Over
like
fucking two episodes.
Who cares about Playboy, dude? That scene was like the most erotic thing.
Yes,
no one can beat that.
Oh my god! And like
up against the mirror,
and then I really loved that Sunbow was like. He was basically like this himbo. He was so silly and I don't want to say stupid because he wasn't stupid at times, but he was just so unaware of things.
He was
like,
naive.
That he was showing this like naivety, yeah. But then when it came, like when push came to shove, he showed up and he was thoughtful and he was sweet and kind and invested in the relationship that he wanted moving forward and he listened and like, oh, I love him so much. And so I really loved that they were like definitely second couple syndrome-esque with them, because they basically, well, not even, they literally, to me, they're basically the same as the leads. They are like, they both, those couples were that story, what was my holidays count.
Agreed. So my number one, to no surprise, is Win Team and Until We Meet Again.
Pixie hadn't said Win Team
yet. Of course they're my number one.
Yeah.
Of course they are. I've always been like so obsessed with the dynamics of Win Team, and I think like you were saying that we didn't know enough, but I also think for me it was all about like they had so much tension and chemistry that it just, even if you were sort of getting closure of their story, it wasn't enough. You needed more. And I think that's where, like, because I didn't really enjoy Between Us as the episodes went on, because it was missing the initial, like, it felt purposefully missing tension and chemistry. Like, they were purposefully removing it from the story. And that was the, like, it's the core of the couple. It's the core of the trope. So, and it's the reason why I was so obsessed with them in Until We Meet Again. And I don't know. Like, I could watch their clips from Until We Meet Again, like, endlessly. I will never get sick. I just love them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they also had, like, in Until We Meet Again, we kind of talked about, like, having that balance between the two pairings, and I think they offered that good balance in Until We Meet Again, because Dean and Parm were the more sweeter. There's a lot of emotional, like, baggage going on there, where Win and Team were bringing that tension, and there was so much happening off-screen that we weren't getting, but, like, every time they came back, like, they were on like a different level. And so I feel like it was like a good contrast from like when stuff was getting really heavy on the Dean Parm front, like you kind of switch over and get like a different dynamic. So it kind of offered a balance in Until We Meet Again that there wasn't necessarily that same like breakup in Between Us. There was no
and
balance
honestly,
or nothing
like
to counter them.
The commercials that they did.
The Lay's ads.
Iconic. Iconic. I remember actually they were so viral. Like, no matter who you preferred in the show, everyone was posting the Lay's Dude. One and then the broccoli.
Lay's
one.
Got what they
the
paid
broccoli.
For.
Oh, like, my seriously. God.
It was iconic. Yeah. It was history.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember everyone was disappointed when Lay's wasn't a sponsor for Between Us.
For the Between Us.
And they went with like a different chip brand or something.
Yeah.
And we were like, hello.
Yeah, it was some generic, same color, but generic. Yeah.
No. 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 Didn't feel right. Didn't
Not
feel
it.
Right.
Not no, it.
Same.
No.
As to be expected. My team. Okay. This is definitely my number one. Jeff and Alon from Pit Babe.
Oh,
Jeff and Alon from Pit Babe.
That's a good one.
Number one. Like, this was...
I thought you were stopping
is...
there. Sorry. I'm going to be like, done.
I might as well.
That's out.
Don't
no
even
notes.
Say anything. Done.
I mean, the fact that Pit Babe is... I think it's probably going to be my favorite show of this year. Like, I don't need anything else there. It's my favorite show. I'm still...
Really? In April?
I'm still in my Pit Babe era. And I have to say that edits, they're dwindling down. And that's very upsetting to me. Like, keep making edits of Pit Babe. But that's beside the point. Okay, so I feel like with the other ones, I kind of, like, loved the second couple or at least one of their characters instantly. But, like, with Jeff and Alon, it was not instant for me. Like, I feel like I was mid-show, and all of a sudden it crept up on me. And I was, like, the most invested in them. Like, even over Charlie and Babe, I was invested in them. And I don't know if I like them more than anyone else either. I think I prefer their dynamic. Mm-hmm. Especially because when, like, Babe and Charlie were together, there was a time period of, like, calmness, like, nothing was really going on. So for a while they were just being in love, and it just wasn't giving the same amount of drama. I really needed the drama in that moment. So I think that's whenever a switch went off for me, and I was like, Jeff and Alon. And I love how Jeff starts off as, like, this angsty, really distant character, and Alon is literally the only person who can break through to him and can kind of, like, get his walls down. And Alon is, like, a character that I would already gravitate towards because he's very much like a leader and kind of a caretaker to, like, everybody in the garage. And yeah, I just really like that character archetype, and I think it's so funny that everyone calls him uncle. Because I still am going to argue this.
He was like 30 years old.
I would argue this literally every week when I would watch it on my Patreon. He's not old.
He's not.
But I will say that he definitely gives uncle energy. And there's something very endearing about that.
Yeah.
Something very endearing. I love his uncle energy. I just honestly love both of them. And I love them together. And I always think about the episode where they go roller skating because
I love
roller skating. That scene was so cute. Literally, like, every scene that they had, I would just, like, screech and wail. Like, it was peak, like, fangirl behavior, and I don't always act that way, but they had me in a chokehold, and they still do. There's just something about them that I can't, like, particularly explain. And I don't even really know why I ended up liking them, but here we are, and Jeff and Alon forever.
I remember the switch of, like, in watching your reactions, because, like, I'm subscribed to Kayla's Patreon, another card, Kayla's Patreon in the card, but I remember, like, the switch in your reactions when you were like, oh, these two are kind of hitting a little bit, and then, like, after that, it just kind of, like, the avalanche just kind of, like, oh, but, like, 100% Alon as, like, the goofy, doesn't know how to flirt, but is so hopelessly in love, like, older one in the relationship.
That's
like,
cute.
It, like,
so he, funny.
The sincerity of it, of him just being like, I don't know what I'm doing, but, like, I want to date this person and I need to figure out how to do it. The way he would stress out about like trying to figure out how to flirt with him, like it was just, that's definitely where the uncle energy came from. And it was just, I really loved watching them like in the second half of the series. I do agree that I feel like they kind of, I love Charlie and Babe down, but they kind of like Alon and Jeff, like because that's when their story was happening. Like in the second half, I was like, okay, this is hitting.
Oh, there are so many moments like that. Like, whenever Alon makes the sign and goes to the cafe to apologize to Jeff, and he's holding it.
So goofy.
He's like, and like he was talking to North and Sonic about if he should do that, and they were like, "You're such an uncle. Like, that's so corny. Why would you do that?" But he did it anyway,
and it worked.
And
it worked.
So cute. It worked. It definitely did.
Jeff was into the goofy uncle flirting. Yeah, that's a good one. Okay, my number one. Honestly, this is easily like the strongest case of second lead syndrome I've ever had. And like in my years of watching BL, and honestly, probably just in like Asian media in general, Sun and Mork from Dark Blue Kiss. The way I rode for that pairing in the show, God, they're like, I don't even know what to say. Like, it's another one where I could just like, no notes. Like, that's all I had to say. Like that, something about them just hit for me so hard. And I think Gawin and Pod had such a good chemistry that like after that show was never to be heard from again. And, you know, we go back into, like, the whole Gawin cow tongue, like, the whole square of everyone that has, like, acted in the show with each
Hexagon
other.
Hexagon now.
Yeah, but, like, of that square, Gawin and Pod, like, them as Sun and Mork, and, like, the dynamic of, like, Mork being, like, the bad boy, kind of, like, and Gawin playing that character, and he was, like, trying to work at the cafe to kind of, like, I wouldn't say get himself together, but kind of like that dynamic of like him learning to channel his anger differently and wanting to be a better person because he wanted Sun's attention and he wanted Sun to like, I don't know if accept him's the right word, but like he wanted to be a better person for Sun essentially. And like seeing that growth that he went through and in him kind of coming, him being Mork into acceptance of his feelings for Sun and what that meant. It was just such a gratifying story for me. Like I loved every single moment of their scenes together. Another one where I've gone back and watched a bunch of them a million times. And I love that, like, even after, like, they hooked up for the first time, because eventually, like, Sun fucked up and had to get back in Mork's good graces, and that led to, like, their first, like, real, like, hookup. And even after that, Mork was like, we might have hooked up, but we're not dating yet. Like, you still have to work for my forgiveness and work to be my boyfriend. And so, like, even them having that moment of after, like, they finally like gave in to all of the building tension, there still being more that they had to work through before they were actually dating. It's been 5 years at this point, and I have never come across a couple in BL that has given me second couple syndrome more than those two. Like, I could not have cared less about the leads in that show. Although there are some scenes that I really liked from them, which I talked about in our romantic scenes episode from the leads. But Sun and Mork will always be the best part, the main part of Dark Blue Kiss for me. Like, oh God,
I love them so much. They're the couple that I think of when I think of Dark Blue Kiss.
Yeah.
Like,
same.
I'm so sorry, but thank sorry, my alarm's
going off. Good morning. Oh. Time for Heather to wake up.
Well, yeah, this would probably be my usual time that I wake up, not 2 hours before this. They are the couple that I think of when I think of Dark Blue Kiss. And, like, when I was watching Dark Blue Kiss, I was rooting for them so hard. And I was hoping that they would get their own series. Like, I was hoping so hard, whether it's this couple, like this couple characters, or if it was
Gawin
and Pod, like I was rooting so hard and I was so upset that nothing came from it. Like,
It was strong. Like, the chemistry was strong. The second lead syndrome was wrong. Second couple syndrome was strong. Like,
the acting,
they just
was
gave
top
so
tier.
Much. Like, oh, they were so good. Mm-hmm. Gawain, that was when I fell for Gawain as an actor. Like, when he was playing Mork in that show, I was like, oh, this is an actor. Like, I will be keeping my eye on him. And then he wasn't really in too much, at least in the BL sphere after that. Yeah. And then he just like popped back on the scene. Of course, he was always releasing OSTs, which his OST for Dark Blue Kiss is one of my all-time favorite BL OSTs as well. So, like, just Gawain in that show, amazing. But Gawain and Pod, A Son and Mork, even more amazing. Like, it's just so good.
100%. Okay.
I'm very surprised that no one has said this. Like, I'm actually legitimately surprised that no one has put this, my top second couple syndrome-y couple. Like, I'm so surprised. So, my number one is Fighter and Tutor from Why Are You? Because they are technically a second
couple. They were technically the second
couple. They are technically a second couple that then became the mains of that series.
Yeah,
wait, who's the main couple in Why Are You?
Cypha and Zahn, is that their name?
Are they the main? No.
They were technically the main.
The story is Zahn and him thinking that he is in, like, this, like, BL world, like, that he's somehow his, the story that his sister writes has come true. That is literally the plot of Why Are You.
Oh my god.
But Fighter and Cheetah being the second couple literally became the mains because of all of the issues.
I didn't even think about
and the way
it
that it was written.
Because they are the mains. They are, like, the show.
They are technically the second couple.
Yeah.
And they are, like, they are legit my top, top, top second couple syndrome. Like, I loved them over Cypher and Zahn. They were cute, but, like, Fighter and Tutor, my ride or dies. Like, Saint and Z, I was so obsessed with them to the, like, more of a level than my obsession with Minkit. Like, I was all in. I still fucking love Saint. I will die for that man. I love Z. I will die for that man. I am like, that's like, that's a lot. But like, I was so, I just can't believe that they haven't ended up on your lists. Like, I'm legit
dude,
shocked.
I didn't even consider them as the second couple.
They are technically the second couple. And they are like, they are the show. They are the show. They literally are the
default,
show.
But also it was for the best.
Their story was, I don't know, just so much more interesting. Their acting was more interesting.
Chemistry.
Their chemistry was more interesting. I was like watching so much behind the scenes just to see more of the pairing, more of the acting. Like, they are a couple. So Saint and Z as Tutor and Fighter, like, just had me hooked. And I know that they literally became the leads, basically, of this show, even though technically second couple, but, like, they are second couple syndrome to me, 100%. Like, no notes, no further notes, no further explanation needed.
No, that's a good one.
They are, like,
it's a very good one.
They are it for me.
Solid choice.
Yeah.
No additions. Right. You said everything right.
Yeah. No notes. 10-10. Do we want to do a quick round robin of honorable mentions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll do mine quickly. I have Together on there, Man and Type.
Oh. I don't know.
And I have Kim Porsche. Jeff.
Which one from Kim Porsche?
And I kind of also liked what were their characters' names again? Bible and Build's characters. Like, I know there's a lot of controversy on that story, but I kind of liked it because it had something different. Like, it wasn't the generic, typical trope. So,
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah. I could go into a really long list, but I'm not. So
fair.
I only have one honorable mention, and it's one of those ones where I feel like I liked this second couple as much as I liked the main one. But Dan and Yoke from Not Me. I think I liked both couples equally.
Yeah.
They were both very interesting and had the dynamics were. There was a lot to discuss within them.
Yeah. I think after Kaotong and First started after the clips, I sort of forgot that he was in Not Me.
Right. I love his character in that show, though. I want him to play another character like that.
It was amazing when I was watching Not Me. I loved it, but I sort of forgot after. Yeah.
That's all.
Okay, I had four, so I'm just going to go through them very quickly. I had Ray and Ah Jian from About Youth. Yeah.
Sorry. You're okay. That's all I'm going to say.
Seng Tian and Lam Fong from La Pluie, which is one I kind of like as much as the main couple, but towards the end kind of started preferring them more. Hart and Li Ming from Moonlight Chicken.
How did I forget them?
Yeah. It's very slight preference, but I loved Wen and Jim, Hart and Li Ming. Yeah. Which is another one where I feel like they were kind of even, the screen, it was kind of an even more than a second in main couple, but yeah, that's why I put them on honorable mentions. And then the third one, I just wanted to give them a shout out because I think they were such a well done second couple and I love them just as much as the leads. Eung Peng and Mai from I Feel You Linger in the Air. Yes! Sapphic secondary couples for the win, honestly. Yes! So yeah, it's my four.
Yeah. Building off of Sapphic second couples, Inkpa, Bad Buddy.
Yep.
They're on my list. Yep. I love them as much as I loved the main couple, but just something about those Sapphic second couples. And then my other two are what I was saying before, the series that aren't BL, but then either became super popular as a BL pairing or they actually got themselves a series. So Mark and Owen from Love is Science.
That's, as soon as you said that, I know who that's going to be. Yeah.
Ooh. And then Pick and Rome from Puppy Honey / Secret, Senior Secret Love.
Oh my God, what a throwback.
Loved them so much. When I watched that series, I wasn't expecting, I went into the series not expecting that couple to kind of become a thing. And then as I watched, because it was Puppy Honey and Puppy Honey 2, which the second one had more of them. And I was I'm obsessed. Who are these people? What is going on? Oh my God.
I only watched Gun were born cut on YouTube because I could not take the whole thing.
Fair. But yeah, they're my honorable mentions because I thought they technically don't fit on the list because they're either not a BL or I don't know. I just didn't feel like the Sapphic second couples were fitting on there. I feel like they're a second. They're a different list. They're my Sapphic secondary couple list.
Their own separate entity.
Their own separate entity. But yeah.
Yeah.
Good list. Mine.
Nice.
All right. So that's it for our episode of second couple syndrome lists. Please let us know who your second couple syndrome couples are, if any of them were the same as our lists, or if you've got others that we didn't even think about, we completely forgot about, please leave them in the comments, or just add us on social or anything like that. We always love to talk. We always love to see everyone's thoughts and opinions. And I also am kind of curious if anyone had similar lists to us or if they have completely separate lists. I'd love to see what people have. All right, so what is our what's the rest
the plug, subscribe, you gotta plug the stuff.
Thank you. I always forget. If you liked this episode, please like, subscribe, comment. If you're listening on the audio-only platforms, please pop over and leave us a review. All of that really helps us out. The reviews, the likes, the comments, sharing, share with your friends, share with your BL friends. Join our discussion. We love to always hear everyone's thoughts and opinions. And then all of the sharing really helps us out as well. So we can get out further and, I don't know, expand our Lovecast community. It sounds kind of creepy, but I swear to God, it's in a loving way. In a loving way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Oh, cool. So, I clearly should not be doing outros, but on that note, we love you all, and please join us next time, and I will promise I won't do an outro for another 4 weeks. Cool. We love you all. Until next time, bye.
Bye. Bye.
I was in my Heather era because it's Omegaverse.
Yeah, I got that from the breed me part.
100% What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.